Why do so many seasoned China veterans say China is a land of contradictions? Many of us learn something about Chinese culture, but we then experience the opposite of what we expected. In a vacuum, without greater perspective, things often appear contradictory against something you just learned. But the confused feelings we experience are primarily due to a lack of context. This lack of cultural context and awareness comes from the fact that Chinese culture is based on what Westerners would call double standards. When favoritism is expected and given based on the level of guanxi, then by definition, decisions and choices aren't going to be fair or objective. In this regard, we should stop referring to China as a land of contradictions and think of it as a land of double standards. Perhaps with this mindset, we'll better prepare you mentally and emotionally for what's to come during your interactions with Chinese people. Emotional intelligence means being aware of the source of your negative emotions so you can anticipate and counteract their adverse effects. With a change in mindset and expectations, it's not only possible to control your feelings, but you'll be able to navigate the Chinese arena more successfully. Richard gradually chose a path of sabotage and betrayal when the paranoid aspect of his Xingtai took over his internal Li Yi calculation. Paranoia comes from the Chinese instinct for survival, or Sencun, which is measured by their Sencun Nengli, or a person's capacity to endure hardships. This innate desire to survive and thrive doesn't change from fear of starvation to competing in China's 996 culture. 996 culture refers to the tendency to work insane hours to further one's career due to a combination of peer pressure, boss pressure, and preserving one's face pressure. Ambition is another significant aspect of Chinese Xingtai, and it derives from the mentality to continuously 升级, or to elevate oneself. A Chinese person's Xingtai involves a complex web of competing emotions, and it's clear that Richard's involved a combination of paranoia and ambition. As a quote-unquote unqualified paratrooper manager, the newly created position I occupied impeded his aspirations, or so he believed, while his perception of my principles threatened his gray income. Richard feared the consequences if I discovered, then disapproved of his methods and dealings that were easy to hide for almost a decade from German colleagues who visited China more as tourists than investigators. I am well versed in how China works, and he couldn't be sure that I would turn a blind eye to his corrupt activities because I hadn't given him any indication that I would 睁一只眼, 闭一只眼. Richard ultimately chose to protect his self-interest, and I became enemy number one. As I mentioned, had I given Richard the impression that I was corruptible, he might have taken a different approach, which would have given us more time to discover a manageable face-saving compromise. And by the way, a manageable face-saving compromise should be the objective of all endeavors in China. You will discover the most rewarding opportunities in China within the uncertainties that make you uncomfortable, and your success depends on how you navigate them across the Chinese arena. It's like the ancient Chinese game of Go, or Wei Qi, where the objective is to gradually gain more territory than your opponent by losing stones in one area to acquire more in another. A game of Wei Qi ends when there is balance, and the winner is the side with the greater occupied area. Using Wei Qi as a metaphor illustrates the Chinese desire for harmony even amidst competition. And it's a stark contrast with Western chess, where the game ends with checkmate or surrender. The final major category in the complex web of competing emotions that make up Chinese Xingtai is laziness, which comes from the tendency to quote-unquote just live, or 生活. Chinese will refer to this desire as 过日子, or sometimes 过小日子, which translates into living a simple, comfortable life. But first, we need to put this into context. Laziness isn't a physical laziness or unwillingness to put in the time or effort. Chinese relish assignments that take time because they don't need to worry or think about how to 打发时间 or kill time. And appearing busy is a hallmark of leaving a good impression for your bosses at a Chinese SOE. The laziness I'm referring to is a mental laziness. Part of the iron rice bowl mentality is you don't need to think. You only need to follow instructions and maintain good guanxi relationships. I've noticed that many Chinese people are mentally lazy across characteristics that Westerners deem quintessential. In contrast, they often lack the capacity for empathy or 同理心, curiosity, and imagination, especially when it comes to something like collaboration and other soft skills that aren't necessary within a hierarchical management system. Many Westerners also lack empathy, but it's all relative to the standard you are comparing. What we're trying to capture here regarding the major categories of Chinese Xingtai is how hard Chinese people are ready to work compared to how hard they are willing to think or consider how someone feels when it doesn't conform to their expected norms. For example, Chinese family members and relatives often give each other money as gifts for all sorts of occasions or reasons. These red packet gifts are customary, and you might lose face and receive criticism if you didn't give these gifts of money. But the point is, these gestures do not require any thought or mental effort. Sending a hongbao only requires a few clicks on WeChat's built-in red packet function, and your obligation is completed. Richard was willing to chauffeur me around and accompany me to search for an apartment. Yet, it never dawned on him that had he taken the time to understand my thinking, personality, and values, I would have been more than willing to collaborate with him in any capacity and reward him accordingly. But that's not how he thinks. And this is what we need to understand to win the China game. Instead of blaming him for his lack of vision and foresight, I realize now that I should have given him more opportunities to adapt his approach. We can create new patterns of interaction by understanding someone's li-yi considerations and xing-tai. Ultimately, this is where our advantage lies doing business in China. Deploying more positive imagination and purpose-driven curiosity to 摸透对方的心态, which means to feel the nuances of their attitude, psyche, and mentality. In Western business practice, we meet in order to align our objectives. In Chinese business culture, you should try to align on process and influence people to be on your side, or 和你一边. Richard behaved as one would expect after a paratrooper manager arrives, and it was incumbent upon me to influence his thinking or his 想法 towards a more collaborative outcome. Hey, this is Gene. Just one more episode and season one will be finished. But hopefully for you, it's just the beginning. Chinese Xingtai is a complex web of competing emotions, and no one would be able to discern them all. But it's still useful to observe the major competing emotions. And as you grow more accustomed to thinking about the Xingtai of your Chinese counterparts and how it affects their Li Yi considerations, you will be that much closer to mastering how to play and win the China game inside the Chinese arena. Make sure you're subscribed, and remember, there's a written version of this podcast available on Kindle Vella under the title The Chinese Honeymoon Period, where you can study the Chinese concepts and meanings in more detail. There's also a YouTube Live Recap Q&A every Tuesday where you can continue to post questions and engage with me directly, even when we're on to season 2 or season 3.